Thank the Lord for that song. I think it's very appropriate, but we're trying to accomplish. Did I get this on right? All right. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2. A lot I would like to cover with the Lord's help this morning. I certainly don't feel that I'm worthy or able at all to teach the lesson that I've asked to be done. I appreciate Brother Gary's kind words, and we certainly did not go down there to become mayor of the village, because then I'd be corrupt and I would be killed. And I just do not either one of those happen. But I do thank the Lord for this opportunity. Thank the Lord for the meeting. This has been a tremendous week for us. I believe in my time here, and I certainly don't want to make it sound like I'm criticizing anybody at all in the previous mission schools we've had, but this has been one of the ones that have probably helped me out the most. And I've been on the mission field for 8 years, and we still need to be reminded of some things and helped with some things. And every message that has been given has been a tremendous help to me. In fact, there's some of them I'm taking back. I'll be translating them real soon, and I'm going to preach them down in Mexico. And I'll even put your names on if you want me to. That won't be a problem at all. They won't know who you are. They just know who I am. So I'll just get the credit for it anyway. But thank the Lord for what He's done for us this week and for our pastor. I certainly love our pastor. Our family appreciates our pastor. Thank you for all that you've done for this and for Brother Gary and his desire to see the missionaries helped. Sometimes we don't need to be preached at. We just need to be helped a little bit. And I think this has helped me in a tremendous way. Acts chapter 2, I'm just going to read a few verses here and share some more verses with you to remind us of a few things, and then share about seven things quickly that I think were important in being able to reach the people in our village. In verse 41 of Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Father, help us this morning just to be sensitive to Your will. Thank You, God, for working in our lives and using us, even though we're not worthy of anything. Thank You, Lord, for the time we can have. Blessed, I pray, in Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen. I feel like in this, if as Brother Barker mentioned last night, Acts has always been my guide. And my wife will tell you, I read it over and over again and study it, because it is the missionary's handbook. It'll help us to understand. You'll see in Acts chapter 1, they began by preaching. And if you look in the last verse of the last chapter of Acts, and it says, "And they continued to preach." And we can't accomplish anything at all for God's honor and for God's glory if we don't preach the Word of God. The Bible still says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." I love tracts, but I just as soon talk to somebody one-on-one. I know tracts have worked. I can give you examples of tracts having worked. And even a flyer inviting someone to church will work. But they still need somebody to preach the Word of God to them. Turn in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to go there as fast as I can. If you stay with me, that's great. If not, I'm going to read it as quickly as possible. In verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 9, it says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have reward. but if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. We must be reminded ourselves, we are servants in this thing. It's not about us, it's about Him. It's about Christ. It's about the gospel that's most important here. And when we come to the end of our lives and we stand before the Lord in judgment, He's not going to ask us what methods we used to reach the world. He's going to just see those that we've reached. We don't need to take our Baptist traditions down to Mexico. We just need to take our God, our salvation, our Christ down to Mexico with us. Ultimately, it doesn't matter how you sing. It doesn't even matter how you dress to a certain extent. It matters you give the gospel, you're a servant to Christ, and you win them to the Lord. That's the important thing. Now, do I compromise my standards? No, I do not. You can come down there anytime you want to. You can come and don't let me know you're there, and you'll find that I'm the same there as I am here. But the important thing is the salvation of souls. Matthew chapter 28. We all know these verses as well. And I'm going to get to it. I'm going to have to fly through these things. I've got seven, and it looks like I'm going to have about 3 minutes on each one. But Matthew chapter 28 in your Bibles. In verse 16, the Bible says, then the 11 disciples, the missionaries that would turn the world upside down, went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. They went where Jesus called them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We all know the Great Commission, but sometimes we miss the few phrases that are around the Great Commission. If you look in verse 18, it says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given to Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. In verse 20, it says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We've not gone to the mission field, and you won't go to the mission field, you won't go to the place of service without Christ and without the power that He has in heaven and on the earth. We can do a work. It is possible to do something for the Lord. And we've got to remember that and understand that. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 in your Bibles. Verse 38. That's not the one that I wanted. Acts 27. It's in here, but I missed it. Acts 27 in your Bibles. In verse, I didn't do well at all. Excuse me, verse 20, chapter 26, verse 18, I'm sorry. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. In order for us, I think, to gain respect or to understand and be able to minister where we are, we've got to understand who we are ministering to. They are people who are living in darkness, and we are there to give them the light of the gospel. And it is, again, whatever is necessary that we might accomplish that. I'm not talking again about compromise. I'm not. But our goal is to win them. And it doesn't matter if you're a missionary or you're the pastor of some church here in America. It doesn't matter if you're in Mexico or China, Ireland or in South Dakota. It does not matter where you are. The goal is that we might bring people to Christ. Because when we stand before the Lord and the Lord has that roll that's called up yonder, it'll be those who we've seen get saved. They'll be there. And it will not matter anything else that happens. And so what is our ultimate goal? To win the lost at any cost. Salvation gives one eternal life, not how they dress, nor even knowing all the doctrines or how to behave in the church. That's not important for them to get to heaven. It is important to get others to heaven. I understand that. But it's not important there. I went to Mexico to win souls. Period. Whatever else God sees fit to do after that, praise the Lord for that. But we went to win souls. What did we do? What are some of the things that we did? Number one, we embraced the culture. You must embrace the culture. Don't be afraid to act a little bit just like them. Talk like them. Use the same mannerisms. I do that frequently when I talk. They have a way that they inflect things and do things. And they use their hands and do all kinds of things and all that. I try to mimic that. Why do I try to mimic that? I want them to know I love them. I care for them. Who they are and what they are is important to me. Find out about their history and get involved in their holidays. I'm an American. I only salute the American flag. When they put the flag up, I do not salute it. I give allegiance to the country I was born in. But I give respect to the country God has allowed me to work in. I don't dishonor or disrespect anything they do with their country. In fact, there's their Independence Day, September 16th. I know that very well because the same day is my anniversary. Or is it I know my anniversary because it's the Independence Day? I don't know which one it is, but I remember both of them because of that. That's their Independence Day. You know what we did in our church? We had a special Independence Day celebration. I preached about the blessed, or the nation that is called blessed. And we all dressed up like traditional Mexican people. And we had our whole family. We were dressed up in all kinds of things. I got pictures of it. We had the best time. We had about 125 in attendance on that service. We were able to bring some others in. They were excited. That brought more unity to our church than anything else we've done or I've tried to accomplish. They get up there and they'll have their flag holding on there and they'll say, wherever they are, they say, Viva, we live in Pabellón. They say, Viva Pabellón. And everybody says together, Viva Pabellón! And they'll say the state, Viva Aguascalientes! And everybody say, Viva Aguascalientes! And they'll say, Viva Mexico! And we'll say with them, Viva Mexico! But you know what? Here's what they did afterwards. This is what the key is. They never say anything else. They stop there. But they, all of them, continued on with one more thing. They said, Viva los Estados Unidos. Long live the United States. And you know why they said that? Because they knew there was a family that was willing to leave everything and go where they are and reach them. You've got to embrace the culture. It's not a bad culture. It's all right. Number two, not only embrace the culture, but you've got to engage in the community. Engage. Be a part of the community where you are. Why? They want to know that you care about them and you're willing to be a part of that. They saw my children all the time. We were in there. It was me and Robin and our little ducklings behind us, all seven of them. And they saw us being a part of that. We'd go to this thing or that thing, nothing that would compromise our standard, nothing that would diminish our testimony of who we are, but we got involved in the community. Be a part of the place that you are trying to reach. You have to live among them to reach them. And that's why I'm convinced, I am 100% convinced, if you can't live in that village, you will not reach them like you need to reach them. You can't reach them from afar. You've got to be where they are. They need to see you going to the same grocery stores. They need to see you going to the same places that they go to, being involved in it. We went to a political rally. This is when I really couldn't speak or understand, but I went. And they saw us there like, what are you there for? I don't know. I don't understand anything, but I'm here. You've got to engage in the community. Attend special events. Let them see your family at peace where you are. If you hide your family, they're going to think you're not really here to serve us. Now, I know there's dangers in Mexico, but I'm not worried about the dangers. I'm worried about doing God's will. It'll be all right if we're in God's will. I'm not saying don't take precautions. We do. My wife is not allowed outside of the property without me, nor my children either. But I go out as frequently as I can so that the people see us. One of the things that I did down there, I'm a sports fanatic. I love sports. I've played them all. I do well in some. I don't do well in others, but I always give it 100%. And I play to win. I don't cheat anymore. Because last year, God convicted me of that. No, it's been a little longer than that. But I got involved. They have a basketball league right in our village. I love basketball. My dad, I was born with a basketball in my hand. When March Madness comes, everybody knows what March Madness is, don't you? Good. Some of you are honest enough about that. James was we were expecting James during March Madness, and so Robin was very large. And she said to me that she was about to paint her belly orange with black stripes on so I'd pay attention to her. But I love basketball, so I got myself, they actually asked me, I went there, and they asked me, could you play? I'm like, you want me to play? I said, yeah, well, sure, I'll play. And so I got on a team, and I played. And I got to meet some people, and I got to witness to people, and I met professionals, and I met teachers, and I met the mayor of our village, and he shook my hand because our team became, we were champion one time. But I got to meet them. And one of those that I met along the way, his name is Danny Ibarra. And he played a couple times with me, and then I kind of lost contact with him. Well, he wound up with a store, a sporting store, right across the street from where we lived. He said he was a Christian, so I went over there and talked to him. You're going to church? No, I don't go to church anywhere. Why don't you go to church? Well, I need to go to church, but I don't go to church anywhere. Well, come on to church. Well, maybe I will. And I got to meet him, and I found out that he married out of his religion. He was of the Disciples of Christ. He married out of his religion. He married a Catholic girl. And all his children were not going anywhere. In fact, they were going more to the Catholic Church than anywhere else. I said, is your family saved? No, they're not saved. Are you trying to get them saved? Well, you know, I'm doing what I can. And finally, about a year and a half later, God gave me the courage and the boldness. And I said to him, Donnie, do you want your family to go to hell? He said, no, Pastor, I don't. I said, then what are you going to do about it? And from that day on, he's never missed a church service. His sisters started coming. His other sisters started coming. I sat in their home of the parents one day. The dad was out of church and his mother as well. He used to be the pastor of that Disciples of Christ church. I sat in there and talked to him about the situation. He said, it's bad. We're doing what we can. We're just having a little church every once in a while at home. He said, but I know we need to do something. And God gave me boldness once again. And I said, "Brother, then what are you going to do about it?" He said, "I guess I need to go to church, don't I?" That man, after 2 months of being in our church, stood up and testified and said, "Thank you, Pastor, for inviting me to the church. I love the people here. I appreciate your being willing to take me in." And he stood up and said, I don't agree with some things. There's some things I don't understand about what you preach. But would you mind? I'd like to be a Baptist if it'd be okay." I thought that was pretty good. But you've got to engage yourself in the community. Embrace the culture, engage the community. Exchange courtesies. Say hello to everyone you come in contact with and people that you see. Use the greetings they use. Always smile and be friendly. Why? Because everyone that you meet is a potential church member. They are. And if you treat them that way, they might become one. Whether they stab you in the back or not, they crucified our Lord. And we're worried about being stabbed in the back? I would run. Now, it doesn't look like I run anymore. But down in Mexico, when I could stay in one place for an extended period of time, I would run every morning, 6 to 8 miles every morning. Really? No, really. And you know what my goal was outside of being healthy? Was to meet and say hello to everyone I could. I would just run and, "Buenos dias." Depending on what time it was, "Buenas tardes, buenas noches," depending on what time it was, I run every morning and I salute, I say hello to everybody I can. You don't know how many people would go up to my wife and say, "Isn't your husband the one that runs the whole village? 45,000 people, it's 9 square miles. That's all it is." And there were time and time again. In fact, one of the men in our church said to his wife, "You can tell the Paquettes, our pastor, loves us and he's going to stay here because he's comfortable running anywhere and being anywhere in our village." I don't say this, please understand. I don't say this because of me. Please understand that. I'm just trying to share with you some things that have worked for us. Taking time to visit people. They're always outside all the time. There is a family. He was the mayor of the village at one time. And he would always stand out in front of his house. And we'd always walk by the certain area. And we just stopped one day and began to talk with them. Mayor, these are rich, rich people. The rich don't usually fraternize with others, except if they're rich. But we began speaking with them. They're not saved. But we've been able to, over time, speak to them. They came to a church service one day. This man has taken me personally and shown me different areas in our village where he said, "I'll help you find some land." The former mayor of our village. We have spent some time with... James got involved in the community. He got involved in playing football, American football, for the village down there. The man who is the coach is one of the premier teachers in our village. A lot of money, a lot of influence. God gave us favor with that family, and we wound up in their house, and he told me, it was soon before we had to leave, he said, "I would like you to come back and share with my family what you believe." Prominent people in our village. I'm not saying I'm looking for those. We're trying to reach anybody that we can. So embrace the culture, engage in the community, exchange courtesies, establish communication with them. Establish communication. Learn their language. Spend the time necessary to learn. Now, I know a lot of you here, you're English, and maybe you got to learn South Dakotianese. I don't know, Brother Marvin. I know that I'm from the North, and y'all speak differently down here. Some of the things Brother Barker said, I'd ask my wife, what did he mean by that? that you've got to be able to communicate with them. The only way you're going to communicate is by learning the language. And the Mexican people themselves, they want to be close to you, but as a natural, they want to keep you at a distance. They don't want to let you in just yet because they want to find out why you're here. What are you trying to accomplish here? Because we've heard, it's been said by the priests in our village, that we're down there to kidnap their children. That's why we take so many pictures. Because we're taking pictures of them so we can tell the families in the United States and we can kidnap them and get money for each one of the children. The other thing they say is we're there to eat their children. It was said. I like tacos as much as anybody does, but not tacos from the Mexican meat of real people. We're not there for that. In most places, you have to earn their trust and friendship before you can earn the right to witness to them. That oftentimes it more happens as a foreigner in a foreign country. And oftentimes a foreigner in a foreign country can be a pastor who's just changed churches. It's the same thing. It's no different. We had a family that they owned a candy store. And obviously that was one of my favorite places. I had no problem visiting that place. But I'd go frequently. And I started to meet this young man. He had only one child at the time. He's got three children now. He knew a little bit of English. We began to communicate. I began to ask him about his interests, find out how to say certain things. He helped me with the language tremendously. And then I'd start witnessing to him and talking to him about the Lord. But we communicated first. We got on a common ground. He's still not saved. They're very, very Catholic. But we had a special Friends Day, and he showed up himself and his three children. Never, ever, ever, ever been outside the Catholic Church, but they came to our church. You've got to establish communication. You've got to evangelize continuously. It's a daily thing. You don't stop. You don't stop. You don't stop. You don't stop. You don't stop evangelizing. If you're always out there, they'll always see you. Don't be confrontational. Show them compassion and the love of Christ. Most of the time that Christ did something in a big crowd, in somewhere in some village, you'll say he had compassion upon them. The verse we love to use all the time, for God so loved the world. He loved them. If we don't love the people that God has called us to go to, we'll not be able to reach them. It will be impossible. Part of our evangelizing is to let them know we are different. We're Christians here. We're biblical Christians. We believe the Word of God. We live the Word of God. We trust the Word of God. The Word of God saves. That's what we preach, and that's what we live in front of them. I don't believe in this social type evangelism where you just, lifestyle evangelism they call it, you just live before them and you don't ever say anything. I don't agree with that, but they're both necessary. There are people that have come into our church and said, the reason why I came here is because I found out you're the same in the church as you are outside the church. Evangelize continuously. We are right now, when I left, we had swept our village of 45,000 people. We are on our fourth time through. Well, Brother Clark, didn't you get it right the first time? Obviously not. And that's why I did it the second time. And I didn't get it right the second time, so I went through a third time. And people change and move it. And then they become used to you and they become more comfortable with you and you have more opportunities sometimes to witness to them. We are out there all the time. We're knocking on doors. We're in the marketplaces. We're in the parks. I'm not good at street preaching. I'm just not that. But I've stood in the park with 10 gentlemen that were much older than me. And had a chance to witness to all of them. None of them got saved, but you know what they do when I go through the park? They wave to me. They're my friends. That's not good enough for me, but that's a start. What else? We exemplify the Christian life consistently. My family ministers with me. They see our whole family out there all the time working together. Do not compromise your position, but live in front of them as an example. Love them where they are. Be the same everywhere you go, in the church and out of it. God rewards, as we've already heard, faith and faithfulness with fruit. God rewards faith and faithfulness with fruit. Show the fruits of the Spirit so that God will give you fruit through the Spirit. It'll work. I've seen it work. We had a lady come to me after one service, and she said, "Pastor, we're looking for a church where our family can serve the Lord." And I said, "You found one. You can serve the family here. We're family-oriented." And I introduced her to my family, and most of them are very surprised that we have 7 children. They say, "You're like a Mexican family." And then they proceed to ask us a couple other questions, and I won't give those questions. But they came in, and they wanted to get involved in all that. When they came that following Sunday, her and her husband and her 2 children, they brought another family with them, a wife and 3 children there. The husband did not come that first time. As we began to try to minister to them, to live a life in front of them, the husband of that second family began coming. He had never started going to another church. He was the one that said, "If your pastor feels that comfortable running in this village, then I'm going to that church." And he began going to our church. He had never, ever been faithful to any other church, but he began to become faithful. Now, faithful was once a week for him, but he began coming faithfully. Well, I preached the word. We were consistent in our living. We did not compromise our standards. We didn't change who we were from the first day we started until that day that we began to minister to them. But they left the church. They said I was a little too old-fashioned and not willing to compromise on my music. They thought they were putting me down. They were giving me a compliment. But you know what? For one who didn't want that, God brought the other family, Salvador and Maribel. And 2 of their children have, all 3 of them gotten saved, all 3 of the children have gotten saved under the ministry. I baptized 2 of them already. But you know what Maribel and Salvador are doing now? They're working in the church. Maribel is one of our teachers in our Sunday school classes. Why is that? Because we're the example, trying to be example of a consistent Christian life. One more thing I want to share with you here. Embrace the culture, engage in the community, exchange courtesies, establish good communication, evangelize continuously, exemplify the Christian life consistently. But every once in a while, we've got to, in order to keep things rolling, we have to evacuate the castle. We've got to get away. You say, "Well, how does that help?" Well, our kids, and we can't minister 24/7 as a family. I can. It doesn't bother me because that's what God has called me to do. But my family can't do it 24/7. They'll get burnt out. And if your family's not with you, listen to this, men, please. If your wife and your family are not with you, you've got to go home. And you don't need to go home. Those people need you there. They need someone to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge. And if you disqualify yourself, not because of immorality, but because you're not taking care of your family like you should, your wife is going to get discouraged, she's going to get upset, and she'll find ways not to minister in the ministry. And it won't be long, and you'll have to go home. Because I could not do the ministry, first of all, without the Lord, but I'll be honest with you, without my wife, I do not have the ministry that I have. And I'll take it a step further than that. My children minister in our church. My little children can give the plan of the salvation to you. You want to know why? They go on visitation every Saturday. They're there. That has also helped in gaining respect. They realize that this is a family that wants to serve their religion, their God, their way together. It's not two Mormon single fellas coming down and working in a place. It's not a bunch of Jehovah's Witnesses just going out there. It's a family and it's a lifestyle that we live. We not only are Christians, we live Christianity. And these people have to see that, but we have got to get away every once in a while. That getting away helps charge up the family all over again. And then we can minister like we do. And sometimes you've got to evacuate the castle where you live, where you minister, and go somewhere else. I'm not talking about, we just do it one day a week. Just one day. But we leave our village. We get away from it. We find some other taco stand to go to. Somebody else to talk to. We leave for a while. I want you to turn back in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. As we close this session, Acts chapter 2. We see in the verses that I read, it talks about people gladly receiving the word. We see in there God's promises, the preaching of God's word, the pricking of God's word, the praying, the giving up possessions. We see the praising, the pardon, and the presence of the Lord in these things. But verse 47 has been my ministry verse. It says, praising God and having favor, having respect, having good will with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. God is still in the soul-saving business. That is our goal. And reaching that goal, there's two things actually in here. There's praising the Lord, and that you must do continuously. That's first. As you praise God and live the right way, and all these things can praise the Lord that I gave to you, then God will give you favor with those people. As you praise the Lord, God gives you favor, and then you get souls. Is that not what that verse says? I'm not taking it out of context at all. I shared with some, I think, and maybe not all. Our church, you know, you struggle. Anytime you're a foreign country, you struggle. You make mistakes. You say things that you thought said was a one way. They took it another way. You made somebody mad when you were trying to make them happy. I mean, it's just so many things that you make mistakes on. I made so many mistakes. Seems like I made more mistakes than I made accomplishments in my work down there. But God was blessing slowly along the way. And in September of 2008, we had moved into a new building, a building that could hold about 85 people or so. And we just wanted to see God do something special in our church. We wanted God to move in a mighty way. We had done all those things. We had done the 7 points of the Clark theology on gaining respect in your village. And it just didn't seem like we were getting what we wanted to get. And God allowed persecution to come into our lives. The drug cartel was down there. They were wreaking havoc in our village. We had 3 men, just around 4 policemen shot just around the corner from our house. 3 of them killed. The other one is a vegetable. He'll never even have any kind of life whatsoever. That just happened right around the block from our house. Less than a mile from our house, the equivalent to an FBI agent, was gunned down trying to get onto the highway. He had over 30 gunshot wounds to his face alone. That happened less than a mile from our house. We are having at least 1 kidnapping in our village every week. And then one day, after a funeral for a policeman that had been, I think, gunned down execution style in the desert area around us, And they found him and had a funeral for him. The soldiers came in, military soldiers came in and started doing a sweep, trying to find the drug people. But please understand something about the Mexican people. They're going to get results, the military, one way or the other, even if they've got to accuse somebody who had nothing to do with it. They're going to get results. We had a knock on our door. We had had some young kids pranking. They knock on the door and then they run off. And we go to the door thinking someone's there, and nobody's there, and they're back behind. And we had that happening to us. So Alicia, being the quiet, calm, unspirited child that she is, then the door knocked. She ran and flung that thing open, trying to catch them. And there was two men at the door and more in the street with their full armor on, their masks on, you can only see their eyes, and machine guns in their hands. They said, "We want in the house." And Alicia said, "Wait, let me put the dog up." I get the story mixed up a little bit, but they said, "Put the dog up, we're coming in." And I got there and I said, "Could you just hold on a minute? We're just one family in here. We don't do anything with drugs, Tylenol, is that okay? We don't do anything with drugs." And they said, "How many in there?" I said, "One family." "How many is in there?" "There's nine of us." "Nine families?" "No, one family, nine people." But I had to smile while I said it, because they had machine guns. And I only had a little airsoft gun. And I said, "Could you wait just a minute and let me put my family in a safe place?" So they said, "That's fine." I walked in there. I prayed, "Lord, I don't know what's going on, but please protect us. Please help us to know what to do." And as I walked back to the door to go tell them it's okay to come in now and check, the Lord had already moved them on to the next place. I called Brother Gary. I called my pastor. And I said, "This is going on." They said, "Do you think you should leave?" I said, "Let me pray. I don't know what to do right now. Just let us pray." My wife came to me and said, "Honey, when will you know it's time for us to leave?" And I just said, "The only thing I can tell you is that God's going to have to tell me." And so we prayed. And I had a couple people that I know that said that I was an idiot for keeping my family there. But God gave us peace about staying. That happened in September. We began every weekend by the preaching of God's word and by visitation, sharing the word. We saw that very weekend a person come to the Lord, get saved. That very next weekend we had another one. The very next weekend we had another one. And then another one. And then another one. From September of 2008 to April of 2009, we had at least one saved every week. The church went from 40 to 45 to over 100 on an average every Sunday morning. That'll get you respect as well. When those people saw us stay there, they got respect. And respect is nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that. But praising God and having favor with all the people and the Lord and the Lord and the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. But you will not accomplish anything if you're not out there doing it. And if your family's not with you and you're not doing the proper things to accomplish that. And I believe these seven things will help you. I pray that they will. And it can be used. I really believe it can be used anywhere. And I know, as Brother Barker said, we got to be flexible. It's different everywhere you go. But there's a part of everything that was said that it can help you in your ministry. And I thank the Lord for what he's done for us. Brother. Brother Gary.